That evening, the humans were wined and dined with the best of Tagorian food and drink. Tagorian storytellers regaled them with tales of their own escapades from 10 years ago, when they'd escaped from Yalicia. After the festivities were over, Murg and Morav conducted their guests to the finest of their guest apartments, then bade them good night. Han and Bria stood on opposite sides of the living room and regarded each other in silence for a long, uncomfortable moment. Han glanced at the door leading to the one bedroom. Guess Murg and Morav still think we're an item, he said. Guess so, she agreed, unable to meet his eyes. Well, I guess it's the palate out here for me, Han said. Hey, Bria remonstrated. I'm a soldier. I've slept in mud holes. No need to treat me like a lady, Han. She smiled and took out a desecrated piece. Tell you what, I'll flip you for the bed. Han gave her his most charming grin. Fine by me. Bria smiled shakily. The galaxy is no longer safe for humanoid females, she said. You've learned what you can do with that lopsided smile, haven't you? Bria was so tense he wondered if she were going to bolt, but she didn't move as he took a step towards her. Looking down, Han saw that her hand was shaking. Aren't you going to flip that thing? He asked softly. Bria swallowed and flipped the coin, but she missed catching it. Han, however, did not miss. He caught the coin, held it without looking. Heads, we share the bed, he said softly. Tails, we share the floor. But we agreed. She was stammering and trembling all over now. Just business. Han tossed the coin over his shoulder, and in one lunge, he pulled Bria into his arms. He kissed her with all the pent-up passion of the past days and all those lost years. Kissed her mouth, her forehead, her hair, her ears, and then returned to her mouth. Finally, when he raised his head, he breathed, I say, the heck with business, right? Right, she murmured, and then it was her turn to kiss him. She wound her arms around his neck, holding him as tightly as he held her. The next morning, Han woke up smiling. He got up and stood on the little balcony overlooking the beautiful Tagorian garden. Han heard a step behind him, but didn't turn, only stood staring out at the garden, inhaling the spicy scent of the Tagorian tree flowers. Arms slid around his waist, and he felt Bria's hair against his back as she leaned quietly against him. Hey, she said quietly. Good morning. It's good, all right, he said quietly. The best in a long time. 10 years, I think. On their way back to the deep space rendezvous, Han swung by Nar Shaddaa to pick up Chewbacca. He heard the door signal to his apartment buzz and opened it to find Lando standing there. For once, the gambler wasn't dressed in the height of fashion, but in military-style rough fatigues. Hey, Han said, what's up? You going to a war? I just heard about your little jaunt to Yalicia, Lando said. I want in. Can I ride along on the Falcon? Han regarded his friend in surprise. Han, I've almost got enough credits saved to buy a new ship, a real beauty of a sleek little yacht I've had my eye on. I figure for a share of that spice, it's worth a little risk to my precious hide. Another 10,000 credits and that little beauty is mine. Han shrugged. Okay by me. You're welcome to join the party. There were now 9 colonies on Yalicia, and there were 9 attack forces, each led by a rebel commander like Bria. She'd chosen the toughest objective for herself, Colony 1. It boasted the largest warehouses, the most pilgrims, and the best defenses, but Bria was sure that Red Hand Squadron could handle it, especially with Han flying beside her. The assassinations would be starting any time on Yalicia, and the main attack was set for tomorrow, at a time when the pilgrims would be desperate for the exaltation and amenable to taking orders from anyone who promised it to them. Since the Falcon boasted only a few sleeping bunks, Han decided to stay the night in Bria's cabin. They held each other close, each of them acutely aware that tomorrow they would be going into battle. And in battles, people died. After tomorrow, Han whispered to her in the darkness, we'll always be together. Promise me. I promise, she said. Together. He sighed and relaxed. Hours later, Bria was awakened from a troubled doze by the soft chime of her cabin intercom. She came instantly alert and, pulling on a robe, went into her adjoining office. The communication officer on duty told her he had an incoming message. Moments later, Bria was facing her commanding officer, Pianat Torbal. She stiffened to attention. Sir?
Bria, just wanted to wish you luck tomorrow, he said. And to tell you...
He hesitated. Yes? Tell me what? She prompted.
I can't be specific, but our intelligence reports that the Empire has something big underway. Really big. Something that could crush the entire Rebel Alliance in one or two engagements.
Bree stared at him in shock. What does that have to do with this raid tomorrow?
It's going to take everything we have. Every resource we can muster, every credit we can scrape together to deal with this.
Torbal said.
Your mission was important before this. Now it's critical. Take everything you can get, Bria. Weapons, spice, everything.
Torbal gave her a quick salute and broke the connection. Bria felt her heart thud. At Colony 1, the oldest and largest of the Elysian facilities, it was nearing midday. Tirowenza sat in the shallow, squishy mud like a beached whaleodon, hardly moving, eyes closed. The developments of the last day were discouraging beyond belief. Durga, curse him, had called his bluff. Tirowenza opened his eyes and took in the depressing sight. Beyond Veritil and Talena and the other Talanda Til soaking in the mud, sleek Nova Force ships littered the landing field, and small teams of heavily armed sentients wearing the uniform of the mercenary unit were everywhere. But the worst of it was that Tirowenza still couldn't know for sure how much Durga knew. Perhaps the Nova Force troops were Durga's response to the High Priest's disingenuous requests to beef up the Elysian defenses. Maybe he didn't suspect foul play in Kibik's death. Tirowenza liked that idea. If true, the Talanda Til would just have to wait and hope that this situation was temporary, and that after a while, the Saadi would grow weary of paying Nova Force to stay here.
Wait. I can wait a little longer. In any event, that's all I can do.
Without warning, a lash of energy sizzled into the mud in front of Tirowenza, spattering him with ejecta. Tirowenza turned to see three beings in camo uniforms come racing out of the jungle, blaster rifles blazing. The Gamorreans who had been guarding them were already dead.
Is this Nova Force? Has Durga ordered them to execute us now?
Tirowenza thought, hysteria nearly getting the better of him. At the edge of his vision, he saw that Nova Force soldiers were blasting away at the intruders.
By Val, they're trying to protect us!
There was no place to run. Tirowenza froze in panic. Veritil, he could see, lay motionless, a smoking hole where an eye used to be. Tirowenza realized suddenly that it was only a matter of time. Taking a deep breath to still the fear erupting in his heart, he lay still, playing dead. The blaster fire abruptly stopped, and Tirowenza opened his eyes.
It worked!
The intruders lay dead. The High Priest dared to raise himself and survey the scene. And there was Ganar Toss, Tirowenza's major domo, making his way through the milling soldiers.
My lord Tirowenza, he cried, his weak old human's voice barely more than a croak. It's terrible. All over the planet, assassins are killing our priests. We've had reports from colonies 2, 3, 5, and 9. Off-world communication has been cut. Sir, this is the end. There can be no more exaltations. What shall we do?
Tirowenza snorted heavily, trying to think. Was this Durga's work? No, it couldn't be. The Basadi Enterprise depended on the Talanda Til. Who was responsible for this? And what should he do now? It had been 10 years since Jalas Nebel had flown through the Elysian atmosphere, but he was surprised how it all came back to him. His ship, Dream of Freedom, was leading half the rebel ships assigned to Colony 1 in, and Han Solo was leading the other half in the Millennium Falcon. Both groups were still in good formation when they dropped below the cloud cover and saw the nighttime lights of Colony 1. Nebel had almost no warning. One second he was heading for his landing coordinates, and the next his sensors suddenly blatted out a warning. Glancing down, Jalas Nebel saw that he'd been targeted by a heavy turbo laser.
What?
He thought blankly. Where? The explosion was so massive, so all-consuming, that poor Nebel never even had time to realize he'd been hit. Han Solo watched with horror as Dream of Freedom was simply eradicated by a blast from a ground-mounted heavy turbo laser. It blasted again, and two assault shuttles performed frantic, evasive maneuvers that caused them to run straight into a treacherous wind shear. Their stubby wings impacted, and then, flaming, they hurtled down toward the jungle. Fireballs painted the darkness with crimson, marking the crash sites. Han checked his position and those of the ships in formation with him and began his own evasive. At the same time, he activated his comm system, shouting, "Formations 1 and 2, veer off! Bria, order your ships to their alternate landing sites. They got a heavy turbo laser down there. Nebel bought it." Without waiting for a response, Han swooped the Falcon up on her side and changed his approach vector, and not a moment too soon. A wash of fatal green energy streaked towards his ship, narrowly missing her belly. The alternate landing sites were on the beach, more than 2 kilometers from the center of Colony 1. Han brought the Falcon in for a landing, setting her down on the hard-packed sand not far from the breakers. Han went back to the lounge where the Tagorians were unstrapping, checking the charges and their weapons. "This will be tougher than we originally planned," Han said. "You're going to have to make about a 2 kilometer hike through the jungle." Murg stood up. "Do not worry, Han," he said. "Murg will lead the way through the jungle to the administration building." Just then, Bria approached with Jace Powell, her second in command. "Chewie and me are going with you," Han told her. Jace Powell spoke up. "Commander, request permission to take my squad in and knock out that turbo laser. We won't be able to land shuttles later on with that thing blasting ships out of the sky." Bria nodded. "Permission granted, Lieutenant." Then he and Chewie started up the beach with Bria and her troops. Bria's comlink chirped softly.
"Receiving multiple reports of heavy resistance. Green One reports confirmation that some professionals from a Merc outfit calling itself Nova Force have been captured. Rainbow One out."
"Nova Force? Mercenaries?" Han looked at Bria. "Oh, great. How'd they get here?" She shrugged. Han scowled. "And I told the smugglers and privateers this was going to be a piece of cake." Han listened tensely as Bria checked in with Jace Powell. "You circle around and come down the mudflats from the north. I'll go through the jungle and come up from the south. We'll catch them in a crossfire." It took Han and Bria's team nearly 10 minutes to make their way far enough down the beach so they could be sure to be shielded by the jungle. Everything was in place. Bria counted down seconds with Powell, then fire! The waning night exploded into blaster fire, choked off screams, and battle cries. Still firing, Han and Chewbacca moved forward with Bria's troops. The soldier to Han's left went down. He glanced at her, saw a black hole where her face had been, whiffed charred meat, and kept going. Moments later, as the enemy fire stuttered out and died, Bria yelled for ceasefire. She counted bodies. 20. There were probably more manning the turbo laser. Han and Chewie watched Powell's group as they headed off through the jungle to come at the turbo laser crew from the east. Then they were busy advancing with Bria's troops into the compound. They met scattered resistance from Elysian guards, which they dealt with easily. The night was no longer silent. Even when the guns were quiet, there were moans and pleas from the wounded, yells for assistance. Bria looked over at the turbo laser. The first flush of dawn was brightening the sky. Jace should be moving in at any moment. As if her words had been a signal, the area around the turbo laser erupted with blaster fire, shouts, screams, and the sounds of grenades launching. Explosions filled the air. Bria waited a few tense seconds, then activated her link. "Squad 2, report. Are you in? Have you got it?" Silence for 10 endless heartbeats. Then suddenly they heard the channel click.
"Red Hand Leader, Squad 2.
It was Jace Powell's voice. The troops around Han and Chewie grinned and gave a low cheer.
"We've got it, but we have people down. Send the medics out."
Bria called into her comlink. "Squad 8, how are you Tagorians doing?" A voice came over the comlink, speaking accented but understandable basic.
"Mrav here. The building is almost secured, Bria. We're going to have to search the jungle for snipers, though. Some of the guards managed to get away."
The other commanders from all the colonies except Colony 3 reported in one by one. By that time, Bria had checked in with all her people. "Rainbow 1, she said. "This is Red 1. Report target is secure here."
"Rainbow 1, copy that."
"We still haven't heard from Colony 3, Bria said, worriedly. "Hope everything's okay." As if in answer to her concern, a different voice spoke up.
"Rainbow 1, this is White 1, reporting from Colony 3. Target is secure."
Bria looked up. "Well, that's it. Galicia is ours, gentles. Except for mopping up. Let's call in those ships." Rebel troops were herding pilgrims out of the dorm, and the dazed, frightened slaves were plainly on the verge of panic. Bria stood before them, a microphone in her hand, and addressed them.
"Listen to me," she called. "The priests are all dead. You are free now, and we've come to help you."
"They killed the priests!"
one old man shouted and began to sob. Wails and moans filled the air.
We want exaltation, another pilgrim yelled, and the next moment they were all chanting and waving their fists in the air. We want exaltation. The crowd surged forward, and Bria, with a disgusted air, signaled her troops. They opened fire with stun beams, and pilgrims began collapsing in droves. As Hans stood there, watching the labor droids begin loading limp pilgrims into the shuttles, Bria turned away and saw him. Han waved, and she ran towards him. He grabbed her, hugged her fiercely, so relieved that they'd both made it through alive. They stood wrapped together in the midst of chaos. Finally, she pulled away and said, "It's time to head for the admin building. We've got to see to the treasure room." Bria tugged at him, but Han didn't move. "Where's Lando?" he asked. He looked over at the warehouse, figuring that Lando would probably be right there, waiting to get his share. He spotted him and took a step towards the warehouse, only to have Bria pull him back. "No, come on, we have to go." Han's eyes narrowed. "There's something funny going on in there," he said. He could see Lando and about six other smuggler captains standing there near the open doorway of the warehouse, just standing there, not moving. He started toward the warehouse, then stopped in surprise and dismay. Now he could see that resting beside the door was a heavy repeating blaster on its tripod with a rebel soldier standing behind it covering the smugglers, and posted at intervals three additional rebel guards, all with their weapons trained on the smugglers. "What in blazes is going on?" Han demanded, swinging around to confront Bria. "What are you doing?" She bit her lip. "I hoped you wouldn't find out," she said. "It would have been easier. Han, I got my orders last night. There's something really big going on, and we need every credit we can scrape up. Everyone is going to have to make sacrifices. The smuggler captains are being held hostage for a little while. Their crews are being allowed to pick up the unprocessed spice. But we have to take the prime stuff. We need it, Han. I'm sorry, but I don't have any choice." Han's mouth dropped open, and he glanced back over his shoulder to see the other smugglers glaring at him. "Oh, blast," he thought. "They think I was in on this from the beginning." Han shook his head and looked at Bria. "Honey, why didn't you tell me what you were planning?" "Because you would have never gone along with it," she said. "But Lando is my friend," Han shrugged. "The rest of them, I barely know, but Lando..." "Come on," she said. "Your share of the treasure room is yours to do with as you please. If you feel bad, give Lando his share later." Han thought that over and then sighed. "I'll make it up to you, Lando," he thought. The Corellian shrugged mentally as he walked away with Bria, leaving the smugglers behind. "I don't like this, but what else can I do?" When Han and Bria reached the admin building, they found Chewie waiting for them. Han had picked up a small thermal detonator from the rebel arsenal, and it took only a moment to blow the door. "Terrawenza must have been getting ready to clear out," Bria exclaimed, pointing. "Look, the treasure is already boxed up for us."
"Don't move, Solo," came a voice from the past.
Han froze as Terrawenza crawled out from where he'd been concealed behind the white jade fountain. The High Priest had a blaster rifle in his hand, and his eyes held a mad glitter that told Han there was no way to talk his way out of this one.
"I shall enjoy this, Bria Theron and Han Solo," Terrawenza said. "I have summoned a pilot, and he is coming to collect me from Colony 4. I shall be free of this wretched world, and I shall have my treasure. Farewell, Solo."
Pointing the blaster at Han, Terrawenza's small, stubby finger began to tighten on the trigger. Han shut his eyes. He heard the sound of the blaster's whine, and he felt nothing. No pain. No searing heat. After a prolonged moment, Han heard the sound of a body fall with a loud thud. "He shot Bria instead of me," he thought, and opened his eyes. But the body on the floor belonged to Terrawenza. There was a huge, gaping hole where the priest's bulbous left eye had been. Beside him, Bria gasped. Han watched as Boba Fett stepped out of a dim corner of the room, his blaster rifle held in his arms. The bounty hunter kept them all covered as he walked to Terrawenza's huge form and then knelt on one knee. Keeping them covered with the blaster rifle with one hand, Fett used a vibro saw with the other. The little instrument whirred, slicing easily through flesh and bone as Fett carefully cut off Terrawenza's horn. Han's head was whirling with shock. Finally, the bounty hunter rose to his feet again and then began backing slowly away, the grisly trophy tucked under his arm. Han couldn't help himself. "You're leaving?" he blurted. Did Boba Fett's mechanical voice hold a slight undercurrent of amusement? Han couldn't decide if he was imagining it.
"That's right," the bounty hunter said. "The priest is a priority bounty. I'm not here for you."
And having reached the opening in the wall, Boba Fett backed through it and vanished as suddenly as he'd appeared. Han's mouth dropped open, and he felt lightheaded with relief. "Bria!" he yelled, and grabbed her again. Han headed off to the Falcon to get the repulsor dolly. When he returned, they spent several minutes organizing the boxes for efficient loading. Suddenly, a rebel assault shuttle settled down on the permacrete beside the Falcon. Han stared at it in surprise as Jace Powell and a squad of rebels disembarked. "Bria," he said, "hey, what's going on? This is our treasure. We're taking it and we're going away in the Falcon, right? Together, right?" He looked at her and she stared back at him. She bit her lip and didn't answer. Han felt a cold knot settle into his stomach. "Bria, honey, remember you promised we'd be together, right? Always?" He swallowed. "Bria!" Chewie roared with anger and frustration, and suddenly Bria's blaster was there, in her hand, covering them both. "Han," she said quietly, "we need to talk." Han stared at Bria's drawn blaster, pole-axed. "Honey, what are you doing?" "I need it all, Han," she said. "Not for me, but for the Resistance." She waved to the rebels, and they came in, took Han's repulsor lift dolly, and began stacking boxes on it. Han wet his lips. "I thought you loved me. You said you did." Bria sighed and shook her head. "Yes, I love you," she said softly. "I want us to always be together. Come with me and we'll fight the Empire together. You, me, and Chewie. We'll make a great team." Han shook his head and his voice was very bitter. "Bria, I loved you." Her face twisted in anguish at his use of the past tense. "Han, I love you. I do. But I can't let how I feel about you jeopardize the Rebel Alliance. This raid is going to go down in Rebellion history. I just know it." "Yeah, as the raid where Bria Theron stuck it to people who trusted her, including the guy she said she loved." Tears welled in her eyes, broke, and ran. She stepped out of the way as her soldiers maneuvered yet another load of treasure out the door. "Han, please, please come with me. You're a born leader. You don't need to live like a criminal. If you're too mad now, I understand. Just send me a message. Jabba knows how to reach me. Please, Han."
"I'll send you a message," Han said. "Remember everything I said to you that night at the blue light? Well, it was all true, and I was a fool for ever trusting you. But as of today, I am no woman's fool, sister. No woman is ever getting to me again, ever. You'd better get in your ship and get out of here while the getting is good, Bria. If I ever see you again in this life, I'll shoot you on sight." She stared at him in shock, until Jace Powell took her arm and said, "Commander, we've finished loading."
"I understand," she said in a small, shaking voice. "Han, I am sorry. I will always love you, always. There has never been anyone but you, and there never will be. I'm sorry."
Powell encircled her shoulders with his arm and said to Han, "I left you one box in your dolly, Solo. I'd advise you not to waste time here. The charges are set to go off in 30 minutes. Slowly, Powell backed out the door, keeping his blaster trained on Han and Chewie. The rebels beside the shuttle kept the Corellian and the Wookiee covered. Han stood there in silence as the rebel shuttle took off. When it was gone, he drew a deep, ragged breath, and it hurt. His eyes stung, but he bit his lip until the pain allowed him to gain control. "Chewie," he said, "this has been a great day. You know that?" "Well, we have to get moving," Han said. The Falcon took off and Han circled once around the colony. Below him, the buildings blossomed one by one into giant fireballs. After a few hours, there would be nothing left but charred, slagged remains to be reconquered by the jungle. When Han Solo and Chewbacca came out of hyperspace, 6 hours later, their comm system began to beep, signaling an incoming message. Jabba the Hutt's image materialized atop the control panel.
"Han, my boy!"
"Hello, Jabba," Han said. "What's happening?" Jabba frowned slightly at the Corellian's lackluster greeting. Then the Hutt Lord forgot his displeasure.
"Han, congratulations to you. The raid was a complete success. I am very pleased."
"Great," said Han grimly. "Is that why you made an interstellar call?"
"Oh, no, Han."
Jabba chuckled.
"I have a load of spice I want you to pick up on Kessel. Bring it to me immediately on Tatooine. Understand? The deal is arranged. The spice is paid for."
"Okay, Jabba," Han said. "My usual cut?"
"Certainly, certainly."
Jabba boomed.
And perhaps a nice bonus for quick delivery.
I'm on my way, Jabba.
12 hours later, with the load of spice safely secured in the below-deck smuggling compartments, Han eased the Falcon up from Kessel. Suddenly, a light flashed on his control board, and he realized that an Imperial custom ship was bearing down on them.
Chewie, we've got imps on our tail. It's gonna be a rough ride.
Han flipped the Falcon up on her side to avoid a wash of ionized gas from one of the black hole clusters of the Maw. The imp vessel shot at him, but it was a clean miss. Han then came around the last curve of the Maw's terrible gravity well, shearing so close that the engine strained in protest. Then he threaded his way into the treacherous asteroid belt known as the Pit, zipping along, avoiding hurtling asteroids by the seat of his pants. Chewie whined and gestured frantically at the board. Han looked at his instruments and groaned.
Oh, blast! Three imps out there on the perimeter of the Pit.
Han's mind raced. Chewie, we ain't gonna be able to outrun these imps, and we're outgunned. We're gonna dump the load just inside the Pit. After they've searched the Falcon to their heart's content, we come back and retrieve the cargo. Chewie was in full agreement. Han jettisoned their cargo of spice barrel as they continued at their breakneck pace away from the Pit. A few moments later, the comm unit was signaling.
Unidentified ship, prepare to be boarded.
An angry voice said just as Han felt the Falcon seized by a tractor beam. As the Imperials boarded his ship, Han waved at the interior.
Search away, he said. I got nothing to hide.
The commanding official sniffed and managed to stare down his nose at Han, even though he was several centimeters shorter than the Corellian. The Imperials searched and searched some more, but found nothing. Finally, they were forced to admit defeat as Han watched them disboard and waited for their signals to disappear from his screen. Han was in a panic to get back to the Pit and his dropped load of spice. The Corellian sped back to the Pit and to the coordinates where he'd dropped the load of raw glitterstim. He and Chewie spent the next 4 hours combing the outer edge of the asteroid field, becoming more and more frantic. It's got to be here, he exclaimed to Chewie. But it wasn't. Suddenly, Chewie pointed to the sensors showing two blips converging on them rapidly. He checked the ship IDs and then swore bitterly.
Great! More imps!
He reversed course, heading back into the Pit. Chewbacca growled an inquiry, wanting to know why they were running when they had no spice on board.
Don't you get it?
Han snarled as he increased speed until the asteroid zipped past them in a blur. They must have found the spice we dumped, and they know what we were searching for. Those slugs will arrest us on suspicion of smuggling and impound the Falcon. We'll never get her back. Han's hands moved over his controls like a man possessed as they skimmed and flipped their way through the treacherous asteroid field. Chewie was howling aloud with terror at the chances his partner was taking.
Shut up, Fuzzface, Han yelled. I gotta concentrate.
Chewie's howls dropped to moans, possibly prayers. Han was too busy to listen. In desperation, Han sent the Falcon closer to the black hole cluster than any sane person would ever go. Only the ship's breakneck speed saved them. Studying his instruments, Han saw that one of the pursuing Imperial ships hadn't been able to duplicate his maneuver and vanished into the embrace of the black hole. The last Imperial ship was falling behind and the Falcon was nearly out of the Maw. But now Han had more pressing problems to consider. What in the universe was he going to tell Jabba? Han faced the craggy, scarred hollow image of Bidlo Querv, Jabba the Hutt's Corellian majordomo.
Hey, Querv, Han said. Let me speak to the boss, please.
Querv smiled, a small and nasty smile.
Hey, Solo, he said. Jabba's been looking for you. Where you been?
Here and there, Han said, shortly. He didn't like being played with. Ran into a bit of trouble with the imps.
Well, that's too bad,
Querv said.
Let me see if I can get Jabba to talk to you. Last time I knew, he was pretty ticked because you were overdue with that cargo. He's got some plans for that spice.
Han faced Jabba's massive hollow image.
Hey, listen, I got a little problem.
Jabba did not look happy.
Han, my boy, where have you been? I was expecting you here last week.
The Corellian swallowed. Yeah, about that load, Jabba. The imps were waiting, and in order to keep the customs guys from finding it, I had to dump it, and when I went back for it, it was gone, Jabba.
My spice is gone.
Jabba said, his voice ominously quiet. Yeah, but hey, Jabba, don't worry. I'll make it up to you, I promise. Me and Chewie will work it off. We'll pay you the value. Don't worry. You know we're good for it.
Han! Han, my boy, you know I love you like a son.
Jabba said slowly, portentously.
But business is business, and you've broken my primary rule. I can't make exceptions just because I am fond of you. That load cost me 12,400 credits. Deliver the spice or the credits to me within 10 days or face the consequences.
Han wet his lips. 10 days? But Jabba...
The connection was abruptly broken. Han sagged back in his pilot seat, wrung out. What am I gonna do? 6 days later, having tried and failed to scrape up the credits from some of the sentients who owed him money, Han went back to Nar Shaddaa. He hated to do it, but he was going to have to borrow the credits from friends. But news of what had happened on Yalisha had spread, and several people simply looked the other way when he approached. Han finally went to Lando's place. He didn't want to, but he was out of options.
Lando, it's me, he called. Han.
Lando jerked the door open. Before Han could utter a single word, the gambler's fist lashed out in a vicious sucker punch, catching Han in the jaw and sending him flying back across the hallway.
You're lucky I don't just shoot you, you lousy, low-life double-crosser. Lando, Han managed to croak. I swear, I didn't know what she was planning. I swear.
Right, Lando sneered. Sure you didn't. Lando, Han said, I lost a load of spice I was carrying for Jabba. I'm desperate, buddy. I need to borrow...
What?
Lando grabbed Han's jacket in both hands. You came here to ask me for a loan? Han managed to nod.
I'm good for it, honest.
Get this through your head, Solo, Lando snarled. We've been friends in the past, so I'm not going to do what you so richly deserve and blow your head off. But don't ever come near me again.
Slamming Han against the wall, Lando let the Corellian go.
Han slid down to the floor as Lando stormed back into his flat. The door banged shut, and Han heard the lock click. Slowly, painfully, Han got to his feet.
Well, that's that, he thought, staring at the closed door. Now what?
Tatooine is such a dump, Han thought as he and Chewie made their way along the night-dark back streets. The two smugglers had arrived just hours ago. Han had decided that the only way to approach Jabba for more time to pay off the dumped load of spice was to talk to him in person, but things weren't looking too promising. So far, he'd been unable to reach Jabba on the comm to request an audience. Han had a few spare credits, and he'd decided to check out the local games of chance. Maybe he could win enough credits to make a substantial down payment that would satisfy Jabba for the moment. They walked into the Crate Dragon Lounge and stood, looking around. Over in the corner, sure enough, there was a Sabacc game in progress. They'd only been playing for a few minutes, and Han was losing when he felt a tug on his sleeve. He looked down to see a little Chadra fan standing there. She squeaked at him, and Han frowned. He wasn't too good with her language.
Kabe says there's someone outside wants to see you, another player translated.
With one hand on the grip of his blaster, Han and the Wookiee followed the street urchin out the back door and into the alley. They stood there for a second, looking around, but saw no one. Suddenly, Chewie whirled.
It's a trap, Han realized at the same moment.
Boba Fett stood there in the dim recesses of the back street. Han tensed, but Fett didn't fire. Instead, his artificially filtered voice reached the Corellian.
Relax, Solo. I'm not here for a bounty.
Han didn't relax. So... why are you here?
I made someone a promise, and I always keep my word.
Han frowned. What are you talking about, Fett?
She's dead,
Boba Fett said.
I promised her a while back that if she died, I'd tell her father, so he wouldn't spend his life wondering what had happened to her. But she never got around to telling me his name, so I decided to tell you, so you can send Theron a message.
Dead? Han whispered through stiff lips. Bria?
Yes.
Han felt as though he'd been gut-punched. Chewie made a soft sound of sympathy and put a hairy hand on his friend's shoulder. Han stood there for a long moment, trying to deal with all the conflicting emotions.
grief was uppermost in his mind. Grief and regret. Dead, he repeated dully. How did you find out?
I have access to Imperial data nets. Bria Theron died 36 hours ago. The Imperials have a confirmed ID on her body. Her squadron was playing rear guard during some intelligence operation. Someone has to tell her father, Solo. I gave her my word, and I always keep my word.
Han nodded dully. I'll do it, he said. The next day, Han made his way through the baking streets of Mos Eisley Spaceport, wishing he'd worn a short-sleeved shirt instead of his grimy white one with his battered old black pilot's vest. The noontime glare was painful to human eyes, and Han squinted as he walked. There are a lot of imp stormtroopers out, he thought, watching several squads trot by. Wonder why? The sight of the blaster rifles they carried made him think of Fett and last night. After leaving the bounty hunter, Han had found a bar owner who'd allowed the Corellian to use his comm unit in return for a couple of credits. The Corellian had carefully recorded a message to Ren Theron. It had been hard to know what to say. In the end, he'd settled for, "Sir, this is Han Solo. I know you remember me. I have some bad news for you, sir. Bria is dead. She died bravely, though. You can be proud of her. She didn't want you to always wonder, so she asked someone to give you the message. Sir, I'm sorry. I know she loved you. Han Solo out." Han took a deep breath and said his own silent farewell to Bria Theron. Rest in peace, Bria, he thought. Goodbye. He reminded himself that Bria was part of the past. There was no use dwelling on painful memories. I have to concentrate on the present. Today he needed to see Jabba, that was for sure, and he had to find some work, any work. He knew that Chewie was probably over at Chalmun's cantina. Chalmun was some kind of distant relative of Chewie's, along with half of Kashyyyk. Han headed over. Even at this midday hour, the cantina was bound to be jumping. Han could hear the jizz band tootling away as he approached the entrance. Inside, it was dim and comparatively cool. Han took a deep breath, scenting intoxicants from a dozen worlds. He walked down the steps, nodding at Wooer, a sour, ugly bartender. Wooer jerked his head to his right, and Han reflexively looked over that way. Chewbacca was heading purposefully towards him. The Wookiee was plainly excited and pleased about something. He stopped Han by the entrance and conferred with his partner in low-voiced grunts and moans. Han tilted his head sideways and peered past the Wookiee at two humans who were standing at the bar. "A charter?" he said. "Well, hey, that's better than nothing. Good work, Chewie. Is that them? That old guy in the Jawa robe and that kid in the moisture farmer's outfit?" Chewie nodded, commenting that even though the old man looked harmless, he'd dealt effectively with Dr. E. Vazen and Panda Baba just moments before and used a most unusual weapon to do it. Han was impressed. "Pulled a lightsaber, you say? Huh, I didn't know anyone still had them. Okay, I'll work out the details with the old guy and the kid. You take him over to that empty booth and I'll join you in a second." Han paused for a moment to check out Chalmun's as Chewbacca ushered their prospective customers over to the corner table. Then he started across the crowded cantina where Chewie, the old man, and the boy sat waiting. The beginning. This is David Pitu. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars, Rebel Dawn, Book 3 of the Han Solo Trilogy by A.C. Crispin. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Charles Potter. Abridgment by Sharon Matlin. Rebel Dawn is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 1998, all rights reserved. The book Rebel Dawn is available wherever Bantam books are sold.